Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Forever News!
It's Forever World here, and I just wanted to give you guys a very important message regarding something that I am launching. A lot of people know that we switch up the music from time to time over here on the show. And we're going to be having a new opening slash ending that is going to be courtesy of my new single, Day Ones, off my upcoming project, The Rise of Tim Roosevelt. You can check it, link in the description below for the full video. But yeah, I hope you enjoy, and please provide your feedback. I worked very hard on this one, and I think you're gonna see the growth in me as an artist, and in general, I think you're gonna have a good time with it. Thank you very much.
Stop chasing the pain. The pain will leave you in a deep box. Better living gon' come, gotta make it out of deep spot. Bound to rebound, steady asking what you about. All about the knowledge like a treetop. Gotta do better than they did for us. Make sure that the seeds got. This is for my day ones, gotta be clear. Still moving on, baby, but I wish you was here. Still moving on, baby, but I gotta get there. Still moving on, baby, I'ma never forget. Still moving on, baby, I'ma never regret. Still moving on, still moving on. This is for my day ones. This is for my day ones.
Come on, subscribe and hit that bell to get more. And first story on the docket. Now, it's been a back and forth, which honestly, now that I think about it, is pretty genius marketing, just getting people talking in general regarding the upcoming Naruto X Boruto Storm Connections video game, which is a collection of all the Storm games with a bunch of new stuff as well. And this update right here, coming courtesy of the official Naruto News website, really is giving a lot of insight into not only, of course, yes, you're going to get the experience of all the storms, but there is a lot of new updates, and in general, it isn't the same Naruto storm in particular that you're expecting, because yeah, this massive news right here is showcasing that Naruto Storm Connections isn't just Storm that you already played. Let's take a look. Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections, new combination secret techniques featuring the Uzumaki and Uchiha families, plus new info on the improved battle system. Uzumaki family combination secret technique, Uzumaki double palm strike. And in the images, it showcases again Boruto, Naruto, and Hinata working together with what looks like, I don't know, some sort of ultra rare card from the card game, and she like knocks out Naruto and Boruto. Boruto accidentally scatters X cards when going in for the attack, revealing one with a special picture of his mother Hinata, and embarrassed Hinata blows the enemy away along with her husband and son. Then you got the Uchiha family combination secret technique, Uchiha cherry blossom shock, which showcases Sarada just looking absolutely badass. Sasuke and Sakura take the lead, striking first with their ninjutsu specialties. Taking advantage of the opening this creates, Sarada activates her Sharingan and finishes them off with the Chidori she learned from her father. Then you got further improvements to battle, online battle mode, so we get to actually see what the character selection looks like, and for the most part, yeah, it kind of looks stormish, but at the same time, now you've seen like the background before you click the characters, and also it showcases that there's leveling on the characters now. Battle with players worldwide, choose whichever kind of match is best suited for you. Rank matches, battle shinobi from all over the world and aim for the top ranks. Compete with opponents of a similar skill level. Forget about rankings and have relaxing stakes-free battles. Use your favorite ninja and enjoy anime-esque fights. New simple control style, execute combos just by repeatedly pressing the close range attack button. Players who struggle with complicated button inputs or battle maneuvers can rest easy. That doesn't sound great, to be honest. Show off your customized characters to Naruto and Boruto, Naruto Next Generation fans from around the world. Again, I don't know, like having Naruto, Sasuke, and Sakura with bunny ears, like, okay, whatever. And of course, the release is scheduled for 2023. Nothing confirmed exactly a date, but either way, it doesn't just sound like, hey, this is everything that you played before. There's new family technique combo attacks. There's new controls. some of them don't sound the greatest. There's new levelings on some of the characters. Like, this sounds fantastic, honestly. A lot of people thinking that this is going to be the same old Naruto Storm game we played 100 times. You might be a little bit wrong, and either way, I'm massively excited for this. Moving forward, big, huge update for Dragon Ball fans, in particular, Dragon Ball fans of the movies, and wondering, well, what's the biggest Dragon Ball movie of all time? Now it is definitive exactly what's the biggest Dragon Ball movie, because according to this, Dragon Ball Super Superhero made over 13.8 billion yen worldwide, while Dragon Ball Super Broly made only over 13.5 billion yen worldwide, making Superhero now the number one Dragon Ball movie of the collection. And I'm gonna be honest with you, while that is a massive feat and big congrats to Dragon Ball Superhero doing it, because a lot of us counted it out. I am very much so okay with saying I was totally wrong that this movie was going to completely bomb in every aspect. However, I will counter the fact that it did surpass Broly 100%. However, 100%, it is facts that this movie was released, at the very least over here in North America, and like double, if not more, of the movie theaters that Broly was released in. This one, they knew that this was a family-friendly film. They knew that this one could kind of hit every age demographic. At the same time, it had that 3D Pixar type of vibe of like a Disney film. So they knew what they were getting themselves into, and that's why they were like, let's try it with double the amount of theaters. And if Broly would have been in double the amount of theaters, I don't know if we would be having the same conversation, considering if Toei would have released Dragon Ball Super Broly in double the theaters, or the same amount of theaters at the very least that they did with Dragon Ball Superhero, I don't know if we'd be having the same conversation. Honestly, I think that Broly would have surpassed it in many ways, but it seems as though it was very strategic in showcasing that no, Dragon Ball hasn't taken an L. In fact, the latest movie is the most successful yet. So yeah, it's not necessarily showcasing, in my opinion, that this is 100% the success that they're playing it out to be, considering again, it's only done 0.3 billion, which 0.3 billion is still, you know, a decent amount, but in comparison, it's like it took double the amount of theaters to just barely outdo Broly. So there, take that as what you will. I love the movie. I bought the movie on Blu-ray right there. Not a hater. I actually changed my stance a lot in terms of how it looked after watching it and whatnot, but the facts are the facts, and the facts is that it took double the amount of theaters in order to make this thing what it is right now, opposed to what it took Broly. Moving forward, it seems as though the anime and gaming industry is just on some other next level stuff, because, yeah, a music composer for some popular anime, including Pokemon, was recently sentenced for some indecent acts. Anime slash game music composer Hidekazu Tanaka handed suspended sentence for public nuisance slash indecent acts. The Tokyo District Court found 35-year-old game and anime composer Hidekazu Tanaka guilty on Friday of violating Tokyo's nuisance or trouble prevention ordinance and committing indecent acts before handing him a suspended 18-month prison sentence. If Tanaka remains in good behavior for 3 years, he will not serve time in prison. Police had arrested Tanaka in Tokyo on October 24th on a charge of attempted forcibly indecency, a Japanese legal term which includes assault. However, the court formally ruled that Tanaka violated a different ordinance. The court also found Tanaka guilty of taking boisterous photos up women's skirts 11 times between last September and October at train stations in Tokyo and Kanagawa Prefecture, as well as indecently exposing his lower body on a train between Japanese railways, Yurakucho and Tokyo stations. The court noted that the victim of the first offense, a high school girl, ended up not being able to go to school for a week after the crime, as she is now fearful of interactions with men, people walking behind her, and crowded trains on her school commutes. The presiding judge concluded with noting that for the victim, this case will never end. The judge then admonished Tanaka to never forget about the victim and to never act like this again. And you're probably thinking, okay, well, what music has he done? What has he contributed to? And it seems as though he's contributed to Nieruko, Crawling with Love, Aikatsu, Servant X Service, the Idolmaster movie, Kagayaki no Mukogawa Eh, the Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, Sword Oratoria, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon on the Side, Hitori Bochi no Marumaru Saikatsu, and Idly Pride. The Pokemon Journeys, the series anime opening sequence for the theme song 123, has removed Tanaka's music arrangement credit in recent episodes, which is probably the biggest thing he's done. I mean, that's freaking Pokemon. So yeah, Pokemon movie composer gets a suspended sentence despite the facts, and I'd imagine that was probably, once again, you know, some hands were shaked in terms of not bringing bad press to this whole thing of like, yo, the music composer for this big series, you know, did some wild stuff. So that's probably how he slid. But yeah, What's going on? Moving forward, fans of the Promised Neverland, apparently the Promised Neverland's Posca Denizu and Kakegurui's Homura Kawamoto launch Beyblade X manga. The June issue of Shogakukan's monthly Korokoro Comics magazine published a 70-page full-color preview manga booklet of Homura Kawamoto and Hikaru Muno and Posca Denizu's The Promised Neverland Beyblade X manga on Monday. The manga will start its regular serialization in the magazine's July issue, which will ship on June 15th. Kawamoto and his younger brother Muno are credited with the original work, and Demizu is drawing the manga. The manga story centers on a young boy who aims to be a professional Beyblade player. He aims to get to X Tower, where professional Beyblade players gather. The manga will introduce new gears and abilities in playing Beyblade. And to be honest with you, I forgot about Beyblade being a thing. That was a big thing back in the days. You know, they even sold the plastic little kits and you could let it rip. And it's wild to hear that Demizu Posca is working on Beyblade, but okay, let it rip then, Demizu. Then moving forward, there's a small update for Rurouni Kenshin fans. Apparently, the new Rurouni Kenshin TV anime has a new preview, and the series, of course, starts July 6th. And based on the preview, it's for the most part shots that we already seen for the upcoming anime, but there was a few cool shots that I'm like, okay. And we also get to hear a little bit more of Kenshin's voice actor. And in general, I know a lot of people, including myself, are looking forward to seeing in particular. I'm not really like gung ho about, because two arcs are just already god tier in the original anime. The Makoto Shishio in the first arc, they're awesome, but I am more so very excited to see if they're going to actually be able to animate the final arc of the anime, as well as, of course, if they're going to, I don't think it's necessary either to redo Trust and Betrayal, but definitely that final arc of the manga needs to be animated. And it's cool to see that at the very least with this preview, it's looking pretty good. The animation looks pretty good, the art looks pretty good. I'm really excited about this one, and I know Kenshin fans are like, it's about time they finally adapt the full entirety of this story in this classic tale of Rurouni Kenshin. Moving forward, quick update on the Hunter x Hunter stage play. And I ain't gonna lie, the fact that there's a stage play and it looks interesting is a cool thing, but there was a Hunter x Hunter stage play dress rehearsal video that was streamed, and it's Hunter x Hunter the Stage, a highly anticipated stage play adaptation of course Yoshihiro Togashi's Hunter x Hunter action adventure manga. And it finally opened at the Galaxy Theater in Tokyo May 12th. Prior to the opening, Japanese media were invited to the dress rehearsal. The play will be performed at the 756 capacity venue from May 12th to the 28th, 2023, and the tickets are on sale. And apparently this will be covering the manga's Hunter exam, where the protagonist Gon meets his friend Kirawa, Kurapika, and Leorio, where he faces a tough test to become a hunter, and the Zoldark family arc as well, where Gon and his friends go to rescue Kirawa, who was taken back to his family by a Lumi. And I ain't gonna lie, for the most part, I think they got the look on par. I'm not really gung-ho about, like, Gon's actor, per se, but I ain't mad at it in general. It looks high. It's like, well, alright. Being honest, I'm probably just hating because we don't have that over here. I would love to see a live-action stage play of Hunter x Hunter. I'm just saying, like, I'd go right now. Come on, bring it here! Moving forward, just a quick update for Toonami fans. Dr. Stone New World Season 3 will be premiering on Toonami June 3rd, and I ain't gonna lie, it's a really good thing considering, like, Toonami, ever since especially like Sony bought out Crunchyroll and Funimation, it hasn't been really ringing off with new titles, and not that many people are talking about Dr. Stone, but there is a big fan base for it. So I'm imagining, bring it on Toonami, remind people, hey, Dr. Stone is still a thing, and add that dub, which I remember the dub actually being pretty decent. It'll be a good thing all around. Good thing for Toonami, remind people, hey, come back, check out Toonami, and good thing for Dr. Stone, because I ain't gonna lie, it's very quiet for Dr. Stone right now, and a little bit of a push. Maybe they both need each other, Toonami and Dr. Stone, because Dr. Stone pretty freaking awesome. And I ain't gonna lie, I haven't gotten into the new season just yet, but maybe Toonami might be an outlet of some kind to jump back in. Time will tell, I guess. But yeah, Dr. Stone Season 3 New World, Toonami, June 3rd. Moving forward, very odd story, but I figured I'd report it, because apparently a Missouri man says that American Airlines lost his $26,000 prosthetic leg and won't reimburse him on it. And I'm just like, what the hell? I ain't gonna lie, how can you not reimburse somebody on their prosthetic leg that you lost? Like, but yeah, how can you not reimburse somebody in general if you lost something? Now, I'm sure that they have some sort of legalities that he signed off on that, hey, you don't have insurance on it, but my God, have a freaking conscience. I get capitalism and businesses, big business, all of that stuff, but that's a freaking man's prosthetic leg. At the very least, you know, try and replace it for him or something, but geez Louise, a $26,000 prosthetic leg gets lost and y'all don't want to reimburse him. But yeah, where the hell is that? Who would steal a freaking prosthetic leg. Like, what's this world, fam? This world. I hope that man from Missouri either gets his leg back or gets a cash settlement, because that's ridiculous. Regardless of what, whether there was insurance on it or not, be a freaking human and have a conscience and give that man some type of reimbursement for his damn leg. Now he got to walk on one leg because y'all don't want to. Come on, dog. What is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just bottom line. It's like, have a freaking heart. Stop. Do the right thing, American Airlines. Come on. Apparently, the U.S. Treasury Secretary has warned that the United States could default on its debt and run out of cash to pay its bills as early as June 1st if Congress does not act soon. And I've heard murmurings that apparently Biden and them are already in talks to get this sorted. But, and it's always a stark reminder, at the very least, that the country that we live in, if you're in North America, if you're in the United States, like, dog, we living on debt. We living on a freaking land that is in massive amounts of debt to China and all sorts of different places. It's like we're in trillions in debt. And I'm imagining to respond to this just before, you know, negotiations are finished and we're back on, you know, the good graces of things, Biden will probably send another $10 billion to the Ukraine. Be like, oh, we in debt, but Ukraine needs more money. You know what I'm saying? We're going to send a little bit more, little care package to Ukraine. And by no means am I trying to downplay, because I understand that the Ukraine is in some very serious situations with Russia. But bottom line is, yo, it's good to help out and all that jazz, but there are people that are homeless on the streets all over the country, all over the country. Why are you, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're in massive debt like this, and we're still sending billions of dollars to the Ukraine. What the hell? So yeah, thought I'd let you guys know, June 1st, we might be going, you know what I'm saying? They might give us a eviction notice on the U.S. Stolen land getting taken away from the robbers, hey. Now, it's usually a great indication on what's popping, what's crack-a-lacking, what's hot in the anime when you check out the top anime that are broadcasting for TV Tokyo, and in general, even if they're not necessarily broadcasting, which anime properties are making them the most dollar. And we got quite a bit of information here in terms of the top, as well as some titles that are in general bringing them massive revenue. And you might be a little bit shocked. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little bit surprised about certain aspects of this list, but maybe not for reasons that other people might be. But let's take a look, because we got TV Tokyo's financial report for 2022 of April through March of 2023. So that was just a couple months back of a full-on breakdown. Full year ranking by title and anime category belonging to rights businesses. And the top sales are at number 5, Pokemon, 4, Bleach, 3, Yu-Gi-Oh, 2, Boruto, 1, Naruto. And that's usually par for the course. And then the gross profits is at number 5, Bleach, 4 Yu-Gi-Oh, 3 Pokemon, 2 Boruto, 1 Naruto. And flat out, I'm going to continue to say that for the most part, I'm imagining a lot of what they attribute to Boruto probably comes from Naruto, not to mention Naruto fans do buy Boruto stuff. I mean, I'm a Naruto fan, and well, I guess I don't really count because I also really rock with Boruto as well. I'm the exception, but yeah, there's a lot of people that they buy Boruto stuff just because they see Naruto and they see his kids, and it's like a reminder of their own life of like, yo, I got kids too, and I'm a Naruto fan. Yeah, let's get this. Let's go. But one of the things that surprised me, to be honest with you, is I thought, considering Bleach has been on both of these lists for many years now, even though the anime ended back in 2012 and only just returned last year. Like, Bleach only just returned with the Thousand Year Blood War anime in October of 2022. But I thought Bleach honestly would have been at the very least at number 3, considering the fact that, again, with the Thousand Year Blood War, you got to imagine that there was a pretty penny paid from Hulu / Disney Plus for the rights to that thing, and of course all of the other sub-licenses to, like, you know, North America, Viz Media, etc., etc. I thought that would have definitely bumped enough revenue and gross profits for Bleach to have been probably number 3, but I guess that Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon money, and even Boruto Naruto, but I'm going to continue to say, and this is not to slight Boruto, it's just the reality, I think Boruto would not be on that list if they weren't including certain aspects of Naruto stuff. I think, like, for example, the upcoming Naruto / Boruto Storm Connections game, I think that that revenue is going to go towards both properties, because it's a crossbreed. Likewise with the video game Borutage, I think that goes to both of them, because they're both combined. So, yeah, it's probably reaping the benefit, well, not even probably, it's 100% definitely reaping the benefits of being, you know, in proximity of its predecessor and, of course, the series that it's a spinoff from, Naruto. But at the same time, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, I guess it's just really a Goliath to beat. Although, to be fair, in sales, Bleach did beat out Pokemon, but it's just that profit-wise, gross profit, yeah, probably there's a lot of payments that go down for the sub-licensing. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe back in the days, the Bleach licensing and in general some of the deals that were made for Bleach weren't the best, and that's why, despite the fact that sales are great, gross profits for it aren't the greatest as well. Maybe also a lot of advertising to kind of put it back in the people's minds and subconscious of like, yo, Bleach is back. But either way, still a really dope list, and in general it's interesting to see that Bleach is, you know, in the midst, it's at the very least in sales wise in between Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon. And what better of a list in terms of making money is there to be than, or spot at the very least, of in between Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon, two of the biggest out there. But there was some other notable information. It says here, Bleach's new series saw good distribution in China, Europe, and the US, and sales increased due to game adaptation rights worldwide and merchandising in China and the US. Interesting, game licensing. I'm wondering if that's solely to Brave Souls, or maybe there's a game in development and they already got the license. Oh no. Naruto enjoyed good overseas development, including the licensing of merchandising rights in North America and China. Yu-Gi-Oh! SNS game sales performed well in Japan and overseas. Spy Family saw increased sales in merchandising and distribution in Japan and overseas due to the anime broadcasting this fiscal year. So it seems as though maybe Spy Family was like number 6 on this list potentially. As a result, overall anime category sales increased by 23% from previous fiscal year to 22,196 million yen. Domestic, 4,000 million yen, up 14.6%. Overseas, 18,195 million yen, up 25.1%. And yeah, it's fascinating to see that Spy Family is a very new title, and it's pretty much seemingly like right up there with Pokemon, Bleach, Yu-Gi-Oh, Naruto, Boruto. I'm telling y'all, when that movie drops, it's gonna do massive numbers, huge numbers. If I'm wrong, I will be deathly shocked, but I don't think I will be. Who knows, maybe this time next year, that fiscal list is gonna have Spy Family at the very least at number 5. Maybe even top 3, I don't know. Boruto didn't have Naruto sales, maybe it would definitely be in there, yeah. Moving forward, something that I'm still a little bit shocked and surprised and like, wait, what? Because apparently Burn the Witch by Taite Kubo is receiving a new anime adaptation project, according to leaks and Weibo. And I'm hoping that these leaks, which usually Weibo leaks are rarely ever wrong, let alone ones that are reported by the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump account on Twitter, they're rarely ever wrong. They rarely miss. It's like damn near ever do they miss. But yeah, I don't see the purpose of this. We got a big movie and 3 episodes, and for the most part, it looked good to me. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a 20 out of 10, but it was pretty freaking good. I'd say at the very least, art and animation quality-wise and direction-wise, it was all an 8 or better. So the fact that this is a thing kind of shocks me, but also leads me to believe that, well, we recently reported that Taite Kubo had big announcements coming in May 28th on Bleach and Burn the Witch, so maybe this is going to be the big announcement, a new anime adaptation. But then that also leads me to believe that maybe Kubo is bringing Burn the Witch back, and potentially, now that I think about it, wow, mid-news, maybe this is actually not that they're readapting the original stuff, but that there's going to be more incoming, because I remember, if I'm not mistaken, that Taite Kubo's Burn the Witch got an anime adaptation very quickly after the chapters came out. So maybe this isn't that they're going to be redoing the movie in the first 3 episodes, but more so that new Burn the Witch episodes or another Burn the Witch movie, depending on how they decide to release this, is incoming, and Kubo is going to announce, yeah, I'm doing these chapters and the movie or episodes will be following that. So that's probably more likely. I don't think I'm gonna edit it. I think that's nice speculation on my part of like, wait a minute, it first looks like, are they redoing things? Oh, no. There's probably going to be the next set of episodes, a continuation of where it left off, because there'd be no reason to redo any of it. Like, come on, though. Why? But either way, I'll keep you guys in the loop on what's happening with Burn the Witch and what Taito Kubo got cooking. And since we're talking about some Bleach stuff, kind of in the realm of it, I guess you would say, apparently it is, I don't want to say rumored, but definitely an idea that a platform that will be combining Hulu and Disney Plus will be launching by the end of 2023. And the reason why I say like Bleach related stated is that, yeah, Bleach is licensed globally outside of the U.S. to Disney Plus and within the U.S. to Hulu. So now there's not going to be any sort of confusion on which platform to go to. If they combine, then it's going to be like you have to go to Disney, which will be by default, you know, which I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they'll just call it, again, still Disney Plus and just swallow up all of Hulu's assets, similar to how like Crunchyroll and Funimation combined, but it's basically Crunchyroll. Maybe that's how it's going to work, because I don't see Disney, and I don't even see it being the smartest idea for Disney to say, oh, we're going to abandon our name that is a global phenomenon of a name for bajillions of generations with this new platform, especially all of the, you know, amounts of money that they put into putting this thing on a pedestal, for them to say, never mind, yo, we're going to call it like Who's Knee. Like, I'm pretty sure it's going to stay as Disney Plus and basically swallow up everything that Hulu has. Pause. But that would also mean that, again, in order to get Bleach, you have to get on Disney Plus. And also, I wonder how that's going to work with, like, are they going to start adding region locking? Because one of the big things that made Bleach A Thousand Year Blood War a thing was that, oh, hey, I could go to Hulu, I could get it for the cheap, you know, I don't got to go through Disney Plus, I don't want Disney Plus, I don't care to watch the damn Lion King for the 100,000th time, like, I could just go and watch it on Hulu. So the fact that they're going to be combining now is like, is prices going to go up? Because again, that's a couple of different massive, you know, repertoires of libraries of stuff that is going to be combined. And how's that going to work with all of the Marvel stuff? I mean, I'm in the middle of a Marvel marathon with the MCU, so I'm very curious how this is going to all play out, but I'll keep you guys posted on it. Either way, especially like the anime titles that they have exclusive rights to, like Tokyo Revengers and Bleach A Thousand Year Blood War, it's going to be fascinating to see how this handles and how much it's going to cost to watch these things. Moving forward, an update that's recently resurfaced from 2007 of Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece, regarding death has basically resurfaced and people are talking about it. He had said, if you want to revive a dead character, then don't kill the character in the first place. I've hated it since I was a kid when a character is resurrected because I felt the author's intention. Did he bring this character back to life just because he is popular? And yeah, I feel like Oda kind of eventually became a little bit hypocritical, just a smidge with that statement. I mean, for crying out loud, like a Pell, that was one of the big things. And then there's been a couple of instances where characters like, oh, they're definitely dead. I mean, some of the stuff that happened in Wano was like, oh, they're definitely dead, yeah. And then like, oh, but maybe Oda's just straight up meaning like, nah, they were 100% dead. Like if Whitebeard just showed back up and he's like, yo, I'm alive, what's popping, what's cracking, lacking. Maybe that's the extent of what Oda's meaning. But either way, Oda, you've treaded that line a few times in years. But again, this was in 2007. Maybe it stopped bothering Oda since then. I don't know. That was what, 15, 16 years ago? Like, yeah. And since we're talking some One Piece, apparently the One Piece on Ice episode of Alabasta reveals Zoro, Sanji, and Nami performers. In case you don't know, yeah, they're doing One Piece on Ice. It's gotten that big at this point. A professional coach, last year's Japanese national silver medalist, and the sister of Vivi performer Marin Honda are the latest superstar additions to an already blinding list of performers participating in the One Piece on Ice episode of Alabasta, today filling the skating shoes of three more Straw Hats as follows. And they got Zoro's, which I go lie, it's like they don't look nothing like, oh, let's just keep it real. It's like, who can skate and we could just throw the names on? Sanji, Nami. Is like, yo, y'all look not like them. Like, you think the Netflix casting is off the chain? Like, yeah, this casting is like, hey, let's just throw anybody that wants to be a part of this thing that can skate. Like, why not? Then something very interesting recently surfaced regarding Nakaba Suzuki of the Seven Deadly Sins, as well as his previous series, Kangobancho. Apparently, it was noted from Nakaba Suzuki a while back that in the original chapter of Seven Deadly Sins, Meliodas is not actually a pervert, but it was changed. Also, Kangobancho, from the Kangobancho series, his previous series, is also very respectful and not a pervert. And it was revealed in a drawing that fans dug up that in an old sketch he put out, basically, you're looking at it right now, Nakaba Suzuki is the pig and the dude with the glasses is his editor. And basically the pig is drawing, he's like, and the editor comes in and says, let's put some ecchi stuff in there. He said this at every meeting. And the pig said, you're very dedicated. So basically the reason why, or majority of the reason why, if not all of it, why you got like Meliodas constantly groping on Elizabeth and all of the wild stuff is editors have constantly pushed, which also makes sense because Weekly Shonen Magazine is like, if you look at any cover of Weekly Shonen Magazine, it's not like Weekly Shonen Jump. Weekly Shonen Jump, you're gonna see, you know, Luffy, Ichigo, something there, right? Weekly Shonen Magazine, you're gonna see some models on there, like not topless, but bikini models and stuff. So I'm imagining that's one of the incentives why it's like, yo, this is the type of magazine you got to put some of that stuff in there. And of course, Nagumo Suzuki is there with, in this drawing, ironic as hell, a bottle of what appears to be alcohol. Yeah, it looks like this editor messing with his story and making him have to make all of his characters do perverted stuff has made and forced Nagumo Suzuki into the bottle. Suzuki, it's okay. The editors shouldn't be able to control you now. You can stop the etchy stuff and please put down the drink, homie. But serious, it's horrible that editors have been messing with stories. I mean, we've heard some horror stories of what happened with, you know, Samurai 8, where the editor was telling Kishimoto to speed things up. Masashi Kishimoto, for crying out loud. And then from the very beginning, Nakaba Suzuki, his editor at every freaking meeting is like, yeah, put some more perverted stuff. Like, what is wrong with you, homie? Knock it off. That's the type of shit that makes people be like screaming, yo, cancel the Seven Deadly Sins. Cancel Meliodas. This is horrible. He's groping on her. What the hell? Quick update for Fortnite / Dragon Ball. Apparently, it's been leaked that the next big Fortnite collaboration will once again be with Dragon Ball Super, this time around with Goku Black. And I ain't gonna lie, back in like 2016 or so, I would have been massively hype about this. But I don't know. Maybe you care out there. It's news. Yeah, but like Fortnite is adding all of these collaborations that it's like, it looks like it's just trying everything and using the gajillions of dollars that it's made to try and stay hot. But hey, if you're excited about it, why not? But Goku Black, Fortnite, woohoo, Basil, whoop-de-doo, Basil. Next up, just a quick update. Apparently, there was a big concert of Black Clover over there in Japan, where some of the opening themes were played and whatnot. And yeah, it was Jeddah Events Calendar 2023 Anime Village at City Walk. Day 2, so this was a multi-day big festival, and I'm imagining that's probably gearing up because of the big movie coming out. And in general, it's cool to see Black Clover still getting some love and some traction, despite the fact that the anime's been over for quite some time and the manga ain't the most biggest selling of all time. But yeah, Black Clover's still getting love over there in Japan with big back-to-back day concerts. I'm hype about that. Moving forward, My Hero Academia fans, we got some very awesome news incoming from My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble. That was a game that was announced quite a bit ago, actually, that it kind of looks like it's a Fortnite style, where apparently it is getting another open beta test because it did have one beforehand. And it says here, Bandai Namco Entertainment America announced on Thursday an open beta test for the My Hero Ultra Rumble, aka My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble in Japan, battle royale style action game. The open beta will run from May 25th at 10 p.m. EDT to June 2nd, 2 a.m. EDT. The company streamed a trailer that previews the gameplay, including the Plus Ultra and Revival Systems. Tenya Iida, Kaminari Denki, and Itsuka Kendo will be available to play alongside the original 12 characters from the closed beta. The original 12 include Midoriya Izuku, Bakugo Katsuki, Uraraka, Todoroki, Suyu, All Might, Cementos, Mount Lady, Tomura, Shigaraki, Dabi, Himiko Toga, and Mr. Compress. Me and my team, if we get in this bad boy, are gonna be all villains all day. The free-to-play game will be available on PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC via Steam. Bandai Namco Entertainment is developing the game, and the game will center on 8 teams of 3 players, each battling it out in each match. Characters in the game will use their quirks to do battle. Bandai Namco Entertainment will make costumes and skins available for the characters. And yeah, honestly, I forgot about this game. I was like, what the heck ever happened to it when I saw this? I was like, whoa, snap. But seems as though maybe it's still making its way over here to the West, because honestly, I want to play it. I'd much rather play this than play Fortnite. Maybe they can make this a big thing over here. That'd be freaking fantastic. Although it is interesting that they are dropping the Academia portion out of the title for the West. It's just called My Hero Ultra Rumble, not My Hero Academia Ultra Rumble. I wonder what's that about. But either way, I am definitely very much so excited to play this game, because it looks pretty freaking awesome based off the trailer that we have. Moving forward, Chainsaw Man fans. Now, we spoke about fairly recently the Chainsaw Man anime not seemingly performing at the very least first week sales-wise with the Blu-rays up to what people had expected, because for the most part, comparing it to the big dogs that had came out, Demon Slayer, when it first came out with his first Blu-ray, did like 89,000 copies week one off the Blu-rays. Jujutsu Kaisen did like 30,000. However, based off sales, not including, from my understanding, MAPPA's official website, it only had done about 1,000 sales first week. People say that with MAPPA's, you know, website sales, it did like 16,000, which still is a far shot from the big dogs like, again, Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer. However, MAPPA's CEO apparently reflects on the financial performance of Chainsaw Man and gives a very mixed signal for me personally, but you be the judge of it. One of the most notable aspects of the Chainsaw Man anime was that the production studio MAPPA invested the entirety of the production costs. This is a rarity among anime productions, as most titles are funded by a collection of companies known as the production committee. So how well did Chainsaw Man end up doing for MAPPA? CEO Manabu Otsuka addressed the issue frankly in an interview with Tokyo Keizai on Wednesday. He said, as far as investments go, one could say it was a complete success. However, I am not satisfied that we were able to bring out the same kind of impact as Jujutsu Kaisen, which we worked on right before Chainsaw Man. He also went on to remark that there are some titles which sell well on home video, DVD, Blu-ray. Ah, so he's heard the word and he's trying to clean up, people. Pay attention. While others attract a lot of views through streaming. He added, to be perfectly honest, I wish Chainsaw Man could have reached more of the audience that pays for home video releases. Facts. You see what I'm saying, people? For the people that was like, no, it was a success on Blu-ray or it wasn't that bad, he is outright saying that pretty much people streamed the living crap out of it, but they didn't really support it buying the Blu-rays and DVDs. The other benefit of investing in Chainsaw Man was not so immediately tangible. Otsuka remarked that a big challenge with the experiment was that, as a medium-sized company at best, MAPPA had little experience in managing the licensing, merchandise planning, and other aspects that other companies on the production committee would normally have handled. Thus, working on Chainsaw Man proved to be a fruitful learning experience. Later in the interview, Otsuka said that while he does not plan to invest 100% in all anime titles in the future, he is actively working toward building the company so that it can negotiate investments on an equal footing with other members of production committees. He commented that there is a lot of skepticism within the anime industry about studios being able to turn a profit, and he seeks to change that perception through MAPPA's example. And of course, Chainsaw Man anime premiered on Toonami Tokyo and 5 other affiliated channels, and I'm gonna be honest with you, this one right here is just forever going to puzzle me in terms of the fact that Chainsaw Man, if any series, would have been the perfect example of, yo, we don't need the production committee, because in case you don't know, the production committee oftentimes is one of the reasons why a series won't pop or won't succeed or won't look great, because of a lot of, I guess you would say, capitalist viewpoints in terms of splitting production costs on different animes when technically all the money should go to one service and whatnot. But Chainsaw Man had a buzz like, I don't know, 50 Cent in the early 2000s before Get Rich or Die Tryin' was just about to drop. Like, this was supposed to take the world by storm, and you could throw the argument that it's not as kid-friendly as a Jujutsu Kaisen or Demon Slayer, despite the fact that they're both very bloody and there's demons and all sorts of stuff. But Chainsaw Man has one aspect that those other two do not, and that's, of course, gratuitous nudity and, I guess, a little bit of sexual innuendo and sexual humor that the other two don't. It's a little bit more mature in that regard, as well as the way the characters act, so you can throw the argument that that is what held it back in comparison to the other two. But just in general, Chainsaw Man should have been the one to put MAPPA on an even playing field in terms of not needing the production committee to flat out go straight forward with an animation studio and investing entirely into a product or into a title. So the fact that this didn't work out is definitely a disappointment, in terms of he's clearly saying that it made a profit in terms of the viewership, in terms of streaming and whatnot, but in terms of DVD and Blu-ray sales, I think that's where it fell short. And again, a lot of that might be due to the fact that they are new into investing and they did it all on their own. They didn't have the production committee, which ultimately I'd imagine cut off certain resources for them. But yeah, it's fascinating to see nonetheless that Chainsaw Man was invested by MAPPA entirely, and it did, for the most part, It was, for the most part, a success. However, it seems as though one of the reasons why I didn't really make the money on the Blu-ray side and DVD side is the fact that it was probably lacking resources, not having those people. Also, now that I think about it, that's probably why they went ahead and did 12 different ending songs for the Chainsaw Man anime. It was probably a way to create a revenue stream via these, you know, album sales and things like that. So that's probably why they went that direction, because again, MAPPA was risking a lot on this one, and hopefully worldwide the Blu-ray and DVD sales go good for it. I don't think they've released the Blu-rays or DVDs in North America yet, but yeah, I'm imagining fans in North America are going to show up and show MAPPA that their investment was not in vain. Moving forward, this is a massive story. This is a leak. A lot of people are skeptic on it, but this has been leaked for quite some time, and now something else came from it. Apparently, a new Shonen Jump crossover game is incoming. Jump Stars Ultimax by CyberConnect 2 and Bandai Namco, which would be Shonen Jump's Naruto, Dragon Ball, One Piece, etc. crossover game for the PS5 and PS4. Likely Xbox One will be in America and Europe too, because there's no mention of it. But yeah, this has been floating around, and this has actually been kind of leaked, and word has circulated for a few months now at the very least. But yeah, if this is actually facts, for starters, CyberConnect 2 being the one to bring this forward, this is going to be the biggest game in existence, because, and they got the Storm Collection incoming, or the Storm Connection, shall I say, Naruto X Boruto and Demon Slayer. But that has been, out of all of the anime fighters, the most proven successful one in terms of style and combat that is simple enough that anybody could jump into, but at the same time, the mainstream audiences don't reject it in terms of like, oh, it's clunky, it doesn't work, opposed to Jump Force. Because Jump Force, if the gameplay was proper and up to snuff, would have been something that was absolutely timeless, that could have lived off of DLC until the end of time. Every time you drop a Shonen Jump title that gets a buzz, you can immediately start working on DLC and just DLC those characters into the game, work on DLC stories. Like this, if this is proven true, and if this is actually the next step in Shonen Jump having crossover games, is Jump Stars Ultimax, this would be perfect, I guess, alleviate the bad taste in people's mouths of Jump Force's combat, because CyberConnect 2 have proven time and time again they can really make some awesome fighters. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the style of the Demon Slayer slash, you know, Naruto Storm, because I believe they've also made some other fighting games, and yeah, they could probably make it along the lines of Dragon Ball Fighters if they have enough time, which I'm imagining so. And if this one is successful, this could mean that Shonen Jump will, for the rest of time, or at the very least for the next generation of video games, have a game that is just solely dedicated to releasing new characters. Every time a series pops, you know, you get a new story that is just like, oh god, this could actually be the gateway. Heck, even cancel series, at the very least, when they get a buzz, could get a character or two into this, because Shonen Jump owns them anyway. Like, this is going to be revolutionary if this is true, because CyberConnect 2 have shown they make games that we like to play. And yeah, if this is coming soon and this is a true leak, which I believe it to be, Jump Stars Ultimax might be everybody's favorite game incoming. Let's freaking go. Anime fighters have been on a drought for quite some time. This seems like this could change everything if done correctly, and of course if this is a true leak, which I do believe it to be. But yeah, let's freaking go. Jump Stars Ultimax, we're playing this every day for the rest of our, okay, let's not get carried away for now. Moving forward, now a lot of people know that, of course, AI is becoming a massive force in the world, and apparently art workers in Japan took a survey about their concerns about AI, and 94% of Japanese creators are concerned about AI. TBS NewsDig reported on Monday that around 94% of Japanese creators were concerned that AI could have harmful effects such as rights infringement, according to an Arts Worker Japan survey of around 25,000 creators. The survey also listed reports by creators citing negative experiences with AI, such as seeing their art stolen by AI and distributed on foreign websites, or having their published voice samples altered by AI and resold as voice changer models. The Arts Workers Japan Association strongly recommends government regulations against AI created works, proposing that it should be obligatory to display the original data and or compensate the original creator. Personally, I am so on board with saying that these need to have, there needs to be some very strong regulation, not just regulation, but very strong. Like, if there's any conservative standpoint to have in this matter, it is that we do need regulations on this thing, because those aspects alone are a very big deal. Like, yo, people's art and their voices and all of this stuff can get stolen. Then on top of the fact that people are going to lose jobs over this, many, many jobs, creators that once aspired to do art in this capacity, it's just going to be very bad all around. So I definitely think that there needs to be strong regulations to make sure that this thing doesn't go out of control. And if that doesn't get bad enough with that little piece of information, apparently Shonen Jump Plus editors co-develop AI tool for manga writing. Oh god. Matrix, Terminator. AI art may be a contentious subject these days, with Japanese content websites DL Site, Cyan, Pixiv, Fanbox, and Fansha all banning or restricting its use on their platforms just last week, but there are still many other avenues for AI tools and creative work that don't involve a machine generating the entire product for you. Shueisha editor Yuta Momiyama, who manages Weekly Shonen Jump, Shonen Jump Plus, and Manga Plus online services, is particularly interested in how AI can help ease the tedious aspects of the writing part of the manga creation. I don't think that writing is tedious, unless they're referring to like just scripting it all out. But in terms of writing the basic plot and the name, so to speak, that is freaking awesome and fun. And yeah, I guess dialogue boxes and stuff like that can be a little bit strenuous, but I digress. Momiyama revealed on Twitter last Thursday that he and Shonen Jump Plus editor Shuhei Hosono co-developed the Comic Copilot AI tool, which utilizes ChatGPT with an easy-to-understand Japanese interface. The tool can be used to help come up with titles and names, as well as shortening dialogue to make it fit speech bubbles. The latter is a particularly big deal for manga creators, as individual lines of dialogue will often take multiple rounds of editing in order to sufficiently convey the desired message. The other co-developer of the tool is Kensu, representative director of the technology company Alu, which primarily deals with AI and NFT projects. In a message on the Comic Copilot website, Kensu commented that although he has heard many worried predictions that AI will steal jobs, he believes that AI can actually enhance the scope of creation. It's taking jobs. Stop it. Come on. Users are directly encouraged to post their AI-assisted creations on the user-generated manga websites Shonen Jump Rookie and Manga No. The site's FAQ warns that although it is admissible to use the AI-generated device and ideas, some content may be drawn from existing works of manga, and users are individually responsible for confirming whether the content infringes intellectual property. How the hell are you supposed to do that? Honestly, yeah, this is just another testament to what we just spoke about 2 seconds ago, why 94% of people in the creative force, 25,000 people at the very least, voted that, yeah, they're worried about this. And this tool right here is another indication that AI is here to stay, and it's gonna be a problem, people. Yeah. Moving forward, we spoke about this recently, but apparently One Piece Day event is slated for July 21st, 22nd. I'm hoping we get some big news out of this. Bandai Namco Entertainment, Shueisha, and Toei Animation confirmed on Monday that they will once again hold One Piece Day, a two-day event commemorating the anniversary of the debut of Eiichiro Oda's One Piece manga. The event will take place at the Tokyo Big Sight Convention Center on July 21st and 22nd, with a live stream on YouTube worldwide. The event will feature a cheering screening of the One Piece Film Red anime on the first day, when shouting and cheering will be allowed. The second day will have a stage what you can't shout and cheer on the second day the second day will have a stage event featuring cast members and announcements on One Piece merchandise, as well as other activities. Since 2017, the Japan Anniversary Association has acknowledged July 22nd as One Piece Day. I didn't know that. Wow. Commemorating the anniversary of the manga's debut, although the manga actually launched July 19th, 1997. It was advertised as launching on July 22nd. One Piece Day was held on July 22nd and 23rd last year with an accompanying YouTube live stream. Yeah, I did not know. I knew we had, of course, Goku Day, May 9th. I didn't know July 22nd is One Piece Day, but alrighty then. And again, I'm hoping for some juicy news. Considering Bandai Namco Entertainment is involved, along with Toei and Shueisha, the possibilities of there being some gaming news is definitely in the ballpark. And of course, Toei, there could be some anime-related news, although I'd imagine Toei's there mainly for like merchandise purposes and to push Film Red. But Bandai Namco Entertainment being there, maybe we can get the next big One Piece game announcement now that Odyssey has been out. Although, now that I think about it, we'll probably get more info on the DLC that they've been cooking up for Odyssey. So maybe don't expect too much, but it's One Piece Day, and well, look what they did for Goku Day. We got Nada, so we'll see, I guess. But yeah, One Piece Day, July 21st, 22nd. Let's go. We go! big news for Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, and just in general the landscape of animated stuff, cartoons. Apparently, Adult Swim will be moving to 6 p.m. on Cartoon Network later this year, starting September. Adult Swim, our animated block, is so popular that we've started airing it 1 hour earlier every night at 7, and in September it will kick off at 6, according to Kathleen Finch. Now, for starters, let's stress that Toonami might not move down any further because Adult Swim isn't, you know, synonymous with Toonami. Toonami might stay right where it's at. But in terms of it moving down even further, it is fascinating to say that. For starters, it looks like, because remember, this is cable TV at the end of the day. And I know for certain of all of my kiddos, whatnot, nobody really cares about cable. They barely even use the damn TVs that I got them. So, you know, the phone has really taken over. So the fact that they are pushing even forward, because they just recently knocked down Adult Swim from 8 to 7. So the fact that they're going from 7 to 6 now is a clear indication that, just like what I believe it was Cartoon Network announced earlier this year, or no, I want to say it might have been last year, that, you know, it's 29-year-olds, the most people that watch Cartoon Network throughout the day. I wouldn't be surprised if at some given point Cartoon Network and Adult Swim become synonymous with one another in terms of the programming. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to put the most adult shows on there, but either they need to separate one another so that it could be a straight up kids cartoon channel and see if they can get an audience in that way and have Adult Swim as its own thing, or Adult Swim just needs to kind of merge with Cartoon Network in terms of being able to get some of that programming throughout the day, every day, because this is a clear move of they're fighting for their lives. If they are doing something that they've never done in the history of, now we're knocking down Adult Swim down to 6 p.m., maybe it's because they saw some massive results and a massive increase in viewership by putting it at 7. So now they're like, yo, we can maximize even further. Let's go down to 6. It's unfortunate for the kids that still do watch cable TV that it's like, yeah, they're losing another hour programming. Also, like, kids are still up at 6. Like, you're going to throw the argument by 8 o'clock, you know, maybe get your kiddos in bed, or, you know, okay, you could give an excuse. Yo, it's time to change the channel. It's Adult Swim. 7 o'clock, it was getting a little bit, but it's like, okay. 6 o'clock, no, your kids are up and they want to watch TV, especially if they have cable TV. So I don't know how that's going to work. It's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully this means, I guess, in one regard, maybe more anime, because with Adult Swim, it could mean that maybe they're going to start airing more anime. It's, you know, cheaper. They just got to sublicense it. They don't got to make new product per se. And at the same time, we could get a boatload of stuff. Who knows? Maybe this could mean down the road that Toonami could start even earlier. You know how many people would love to start Toonami at 6 p.m. hopping off with like, hey, we got some Dragon Ball Super, and then we could hop over to Burn the Witch. Like, there's so many possibilities, but I guess only time will tell on the anime side of things. Either way, Adult Swim making another major change and a major move, and I'm just curious to see how this is all going to work out, because you know the soccer moms are going to be like, hey, my kids is watching that TV, what are you doing? Okay, people, let's jump into the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, courtesy of Jose_K. And off rip, let's talk Hirobashima, creator of Eden Zero / Fairy Tail, and Rave Master, of course. I bought all the FF Pixel remasters. I'm imagining he's talking about Final Fantasy. Now the question is, when will I find the time to play them? Oh god, I freaking wholeheartedly understand this one, dog. I be buying games. I'm looking at One Piece Odyssey right now, and I'm like, oh, when will I find the time? I want to play! So, completely understand you, Hiromashima. Eventually you will, dog. And it's crazy to hear that Hiromashima is starting to acknowledge that he's busy. That's saying something. We got author of Gachi Akuta, K. Urana. My neighbor had a barbecue. The food was delicious. And apparently the original word for barbecue, fun fact for you, is barbacoa. That was a very interesting thing I learned listening to the radio the other day. Yeah, I was listening to the radio. Yo, you listening to the radio? Who does that? Well, apparently me. Muneyuki Kaneshiro, author of Blue Lock. Wild Hearts is hella fun, y'all. I don't believe he said hella fun, y'all. Like, that is 100% the translator just throwing in hella. But alrighty then, and shout outs to Blue Lock doing its thing. We got Nakama Suzuki, author of Four Nights of the Apocalypse / Seven Deadly Sins. I love drinking alcohol. I drink alcohol. Alcohol is drink. No. I'm sorry, and by no means am I trying to laugh about alcoholism. It's just that we constantly see homie talking about drinking, and I feel like it's a very bad statement that he's making to not only people that are reading these all the comments over here, but the kiddos that are picking up Weekly Shonen Magazine. So forgive my humor, please. Don't get me. I apparently have a Bluetooth stereo or something, but I really don't get how Bluetooth works. Someone, please explain it to me. How old is Komi? Well, yeah, he's kind of up there in age. Okay, I get it. I get it, Nakaba. I understand. Let's see here. We got Negi Hadaba, author of Ranger Reject. For the first time in a while, I ate some butamen. As always, it was delicious. Butamen? What, you eating men that are worshippers of Buddha? No. I joke. And then for the weekly Shonen Magazine, all the comments, the last one we'll cover is Yoshitoki Oima's To Your Eternity. I want to eat Thai sweets like Kanom Thai at home. I'm not a big fan of Thai food, but maybe I need to give it another shot. It's been like, I don't know, 7 years since I've tried it. Like, maybe another Thai food try is due, but we'll see. We got a new series called Nue's Exorcist by Kota Kawe, and they said, I work my hardest to make the best manga I can with my editor and assistants. Well, we got our eyes on you. Hopefully you can get it done. We got Do Retry by Jun Kidarazaka. I've become a big eater from the lamb meat restaurants I went to with my editor. I'll eat a ton and do my best. I love their little penguin emoji. That's cool. Or penguin, you know, icon. We got Akane Banashi's Takamasa Moe. I was working on my pages and noticed there was a gecko on the wall in front of me. It was supposedly good luck, so I let it be. You know, fun fact, in front of my house on the light post, there's a bird nest that just happened to appear one day, and now I saw they had like, it looked like blue eggs in there. I was like, what the heck is going on? And every time I'm in and out my house, I see there's like this bird nest and the bird flying back and forth. It's kind of cool. We got Mission Yozakura Family's Hitsuji Gandaira. It's fun to walk around the house like a bird called the American Woodcock. You just wanted to say American Woodcock. Let's be real. We got Blue Box Koji Miura. I make sure to have 30 minutes of snuggle time with my cat after I wake up every morning. I'm not worrying about work. I don't got 30 minutes to snuggle. Well, I'm lying. If my daughter wants to snuggle for 30 minutes, we're snuggling, all right? Don't judge me. One Piece creator, Eiichiro Oda, have you all caught one yet? I got a Galarian Moltres all on my own. I've been thinking about getting into Pokemon Go lately. That seems like a great physical activity, to be honest with you. We got Witch Watches, Kenta Shinohara. The Banksia roses in my yard didn't bloom again this year. Not enough sun? Oh, that's unfortunate. We got Kill Blue. I almost said Kill Bill again. By Tadatoshi Fujimaki, author of Kuroko no Basket. I'm using 3D models for my art, but looking at them makes me nauseous. Maybe they just aren't for me. Probably not. Jujutsu Kaisen's Gege Akutami. Chew! Sorry, there were details missing in the conversation between Kenjaku and Kogane. Considering you're writing very detailed chapters, you gotta stop apologizing, homie. You're gonna make mistakes. This isn't the days of the 90s where Toriyama is writing the chapter Dragon Ball 5 hours before it's due. Like, you're writing some very detailed stuff. Like, stop being so hard on yourself, Gege. We got My Hero Academia's Kohei Horikoshi. I'm eating a ton of almonds and peanuts. I feel like my intestines are doing better. Well, that's very good to hear that your intestines are doing better and you're eating what seemingly is helping you. And just in general, we hope you're good, Kohei. You've been giving us a scare lately. We got Temaku Cinema's Shun Sayaki. I love horror movies, but I get scared really easily, so I need to prepare for a while before I'm ready to watch one. In case you don't know, that's one half of the original creators of Food Wars, aka Shokugeki no Soma. We got Hajime Komoto, author of Martial Magic and Muscles. Please ask me to be the entertainment at the wedding. I'll go all out. No, we do not need you, homie. You too much of a troll. We don't know what you're gonna do at the wedding, dog. We don't know what you're gonna do, big dog. We got Sakamoto Days, Yuto Suzuki. I want a spare brain. I need like 4 of them that are resting until I need to switch them out. I hear you, big homie. Trust. Sakamoto, we understand over here. The Elusive Samurai's Yusei Matsui. I asked ChatGPT about myself and it said Yusei Matsui is a Japanese professional baseball player, outfielder. Maybe there is one out there. I don't know. Undead Alux, Yoshifumi Tezuka. Although, wait. Damn, is a baseball player, an outfielder baseball player, going to be more popular than the author of Assassination Classroom? I just had to throw that in there. Undead Unlux, Yoshifumi Tezuka. Volume 16 is now on sale in Japan. The cover art is Fuko, Nico, Ichi, and Gina. Look for the blue and pink art. Check it out. I know you pushing it because sales have been down for Undead Unlux. Well, to be honest, sales have been down for a lot of manga since, like, the end of the pandemic, 2021, 2022-ish. But I think when that Dave of Production anime comes, Yoshifumi Tezuka is going to be eating because, yeah, that anime is looking fantastic. I just had to throw that in there. I think you good, Yoshifumi. Yeah, I think you good. the Ichinose Family's Deadly Sins by Tizen 5. Thank you to everyone who sent me fan mail, and please enjoy chapter 24. It's little things like that. You constantly gotta remind the people so that they don't miss a chapter and fall behind, like me. We got Cypher Academy's Yuji Iwasaki. I reviewed so much research material, and now I want a pocket watch that shows 24 hours. Miyamoto Shuhei Miyazaki. My weight is about the same as Lewandowski. Now I just need to be as tall as him. Fabricant 100 Daisuke and Oshima. I created a Twitter account. Please check it out. Big bet, I might actually go and follow you if I could find it. Twin Star Exorcist Yoshiaki Sukeno. The color page shows the character rankings for who got the most Valentine's Day chocolate. Number one was me. Okay. We got the author of Gokurakugai, Yuto Sano. I still haven't been able to leave the house, so I'm looking at all the photos everyone sends me to feel like I'm at a bookstore. Oh gosh. We got Blue Exorcist's Kazue Kato. The new Zelda trailer was so good that I had it playing on loop all day while working on the pages. Wow. I've heard some good things. Seraph of the End by Takaya Kagami. He said, or they said, my diet was a success. I'm back to the weight I was when I started the series. Now I'll work on maintaining it. Wow. Homie started this series a while ago. And we got Akinari Asakura, I believe the writer of Shouha Shouten, with the artist being one half of the Death Note duo. Lately, my run into a cat rate in the neighborhood is great, so I'm living life to the fullest. Alrighty then. And yeah, people, those were the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Always a treat. Alright, people, and let's close this bad boy off with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose _ Ken. 50 through 41. Let's start here. Good place to start. Blue Lock coming in strong, volume 17, volume 21, taking places 50 and 49 with 8.7 and 9 apiece. Alrighty. We got Cypher Academy. That's a new one in Jump, if I'm not mistaken. In 6 days, volume 2 did 9.2k. They've canceled series for a lot more, so I don't know. Cool cover, though. oh god, what the heck? Naka made Aishite? What the hell type of cover is that? Let's carry on, lads. Let's carry on. We got our 43 Blue Lock volume 22, 10.1k, 507k total. Not bad, not bad. Komi Can't Communicate, 20 days, newest volume did 77.1 with 10k this week. Alright, alright, alright. Yoichien Wars volume 2, 10.2 with 39.5k. I feel like, is this one of those series that is in the new magazine that Shonen Jump has? I feel like it is. I'm not sure though. I feel like that's the new magazine that's aimed towards a younger demographic that they put out, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I do think it is, because I remember reading a report about them reprinting these things 4 times. So yeah, and then volume 1 doing 10.9, 54k total. That's pretty freaking incredible, these sales, considering that this is from like some, you know, brand new magazine. So interesting. Blue Lock Episode of Nagi volume 2, 11.6k, 191k total. Tokyo Revengers volume 31. Wow, back on the charts after I think this fell off the charts. I wonder what gave it this big bump. 834,000 total. Wow, it never hit a million? That's crazy. That's interesting. The final volume of Tokyo Revengers didn't hit a million. I mean, don't get me wrong, 834,000 is incredible, but I thought, okay, all right. Let's see, let's carry on going up the ladder. We got Peepa Peepa P volume 8, 6 days, 12.4k. Insane. I'm still shocked, like, they canceled it. Why, Jump, why? I mean, 12.4 ain't, you know, great, but yeah, I'm not gonna get into it. Jump be wildin' with their acts. We got Oshinoko Volume 2 with 13.4, 474. Y'all already know the Oshinoko effect, the anime effect is full in effect. Volume 4, Volume 5, 13.9, 15k. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, that cover right here looks pretty freaking cool for Volume 5. Okay, alright. Then we got places 30 through 21. We got Oshinoko Volume 3, 15.2k. Okay, alright. Oshinoko Volume 6, 15.2k. 13.5. We got the latest volume of Undead Unluck, volume 16. That cover is cool as hell. I love it. Fuko looking cool as hell. I don't know really any of the other characters, or I can't remember the names of some of them. I do recognize them. In 6 days, 16K. Yeah, that anime needs to do what it needs to do, which I think it's going to do what it needs to do, because David Production looked like they put their foot into that one. It looks good, because this deserves way more, man. I've heard so many good things about Undead Unluck, and everything I read was great, man. Let's get these sales up. Come on, come on, support Undead. We got One Piece Volume 105 still on the charts, all the way from March 3rd, with 16.2K this week, bringing his total to 1.7. Big, big dog. Zatch Bell 2, Volume 2, 24 days, 170K, 16.7K. I got to go back and finish Zatch Bell, to be honest with you, because I had so much fun with that one. I wouldn't mind getting into Zatch Bell 2. Oshinoko again on the charts for Volume 11, 17K, 210 total. That's the latest one, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Either latest or second to latest. We got Oshinoko Volume 9, and forgive me, I'm probably saying that, and there was like a Volume 12 that we already saw, but yeah. Oshinoko Volume 9, 17.9. Dimensional Seduction. Whoa, that's one hell of a cover there, buddy. We got places 20 through 11. We got Oshinoko Volume 7, 19K. Blue Lock Volume 23, 19.2, 425K. Again, this is the latest volume of Blue Lock with my guy Raichi on the cover, aka 1B Bakugo. Oshinoko again, Volume 8, 19.8. Damn, Yochi and Wars, what the hell? Volume 3, 6 days, 20.6. People really digging that. Maybe that's not... I'm confused. I think that's the kindergarten manga that... Because I've seen people... or I've seen an article about it, but yeah. Oshinoko, Volume 10, 20.8, 232K total. Let's go, let's go. Jujutsu Kaisen with my girl Maki still on the charts. Same day release as One Piece, 21.9, almost 1.3. Great stuff, man. Love to see it. Sad that looks like it's ending soon. Twin Star Exorcist, Volume 31, 6 days, 23K. That's another really freaking awesome looking cover. I like that one. Then we got top 10. Coming in at, let's see, number 9, World's End Harem, which I think finished, if I'm not mistaken, or one of the spinoffs. Volume 17, 6 days, 24.6. Sales are really low this week. What's going on here? Very, very low. We got Case Closed or Detective Conan, Volume 103, 26 days at number 6 with 28.3. Chainsaw Man's latest volume 14, 28.4 this week, 453,000 total. Kingdom volume 68 in 20 days, 480K, 47 this week. Don the Don debuting its latest volume 10. I can't wait for that anime to come out. That's gonna make it really pop. 6 days, 52.6K. Not too much of a drop, considering again we're 10 volumes in, still no anime. Spy Family still holding the second position with 62.9K this week, 1.122 million, cracking the 1.1. And then at number one, yeah, this is wow, with only 68.3K, which only, that's still, I think that's one of the biggest debuts Blue Box has had. But Volume 10 debuting number one with 68K sold. That's a very low number to debut as number one. Like, usually number one is closing in on 100K or above 100K to debut. So this was a weak week, but it gave Blue Box the number one, baby. Let's go. That's crazy. Almost 70K. This is definitely a success. And considering this is the closest thing to a romance series, as I think sports romance, that Jump has had since the ending of Nisekoi, that's a pretty strong showing. Just in general, this was very interesting, to say the least. Top 50 best-selling manga of the week list. Shout out to Jose_Kaz, as always. And then closing this episode off, apparently Bleach manga got a Jump MV music video featuring Orange Range hit Asterisk. The Jump MV series of tribute music videos continues, with the Jump Comics YouTube channel adding the latest music video in the series, this one paying tribute to the Bleach manga with the TV anime's most popular opening theme, Asterisk, by Japanese rock band Orange Range. And you can see a little bit of clips of it and whatnot, and I always think that's pretty cool and great ways to market, you know, established franchises that maybe right now nothing's happening for it. You know, Bleach's anime is on break currently until it returns in July. Want to heat it back up? Hey, do stuff like that. But that's all we have for this episode. I'm Fineb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell to get more. Yeah.
This is for my day ones, gotta be clear. Still moving on, baby, but I wish you was here. Still moving on, baby, but I gotta get there. Still moving on, baby, I'ma never forget. Still moving on, baby, I'ma never regret. Still moving on, still moving on. This is for my day one.
My day one.
This is for my day one.
My day one.